So, guys, we are on our last leg of, no pun intended. I saw that. We're on our last leg of this acronym we've been looking at on CARE. Everybody say CARE. So we're preparing the ground for our small group launch early next year, 2019. Early as possible, but hopefully we will launch it no matter what in Jesus' name. I've just really taken the last quarter of the year here to lay some groundwork on really what's important and how this thing's going to work and be successful. Amen. So interesting. I'll share that later. So our CARE acronym, what is commitment, affection, rapport, and encouragement. Commitment, affection, rapport, and encouragement. There's all kinds of other things that we need to do to help our relationships be healthy, right? But those four certainly will help, yeah? So last Sunday, we talked about rapport. I'd encourage you to check it out. It was a pretty good one, I think. And the compliment that I received last Sunday from a few people was, Pastor, that was a very convicting message. I said, well, good. Good, that's what it's supposed to be, right? We're supposed to get convicted about stuff. Amen. So this morning, guys, we're going to delve into encouragement. Everybody say encouragement. So definition from the dictionary. We're going to tear this word down a little bit. The dictionary defines encouragement as this: to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. To stimulate by assistance or approval. So two different definitions of the word encourage. Number one, to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. Number two, to stimulate by assistance or approval. So we think about that second part of that just for a moment. Our kids, a lot of times, will do this. We, as adults, we still do it, but kids really do it. They'll come and say, Dad, look at this, right? Or Mom, look at this, right? And you know what they're looking for? They're looking for approval. They're looking for you to say, wow, that's great, honey. That's so wonderful. Remember my buddy, David DeMarco, said one time his son drew him a picture, and he says, Dad, look at this picture. And he's like, wow, buddy, it's awesome. What is it? And he's like, oh, it's a dinosaur. And he's like, wow, that's an interesting dinosaur, buddy. Right? It was just this big scroll on the paper, you know. And he was sharing there, preaching about excellence, right? Excellence and perfection are not the same thing, right? His dinosaur was far from perfect, but it was excellent in his world, right? So he's bringing something to his father that is excellent to him. It's the best he can do. Amen? So God wants us excellent, not perfect, everybody. Our concept of perfect, right? It's good. So the first definition there, to inspire someone with courage. All right, so the definition of courage is this: the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. A synonym is bravery, to courage, bravery. Right, so if you see like soldiers, right, the Marine commercial you see on TV, it's like guys that run towards danger, right? Police officers, they hear gunfire, they run towards it, not away from it, right? There's bravery, there's courage, right? So courage, guys, is, let's read it one more time, the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. Yeah? So now let's put the word together, encourage, to encourage somebody. It's actually a French word, I didn't know that, but EN, the prefix there, EN means this: to cause a person to be in. So N, EN is a French prefix to cause a person to be in. So if we say encourage, it says that I'm going to do something. If I'm going to encourage my brother, I'm going to do something, I'm going to say something that's going to cause him to be in a place of courage. You see it? I'm going to do something for this brother that's going to enable him and help him to face difficulty, danger, or hard times without fear. That's what the word means. Do you see it, church? Yeah? Now, in the Bible, New Testament, we'll just end the New Testament this morning, a few different places, but the word, the Bible word used for encourage is this word parakaleo. I'm probably butchering it, but parakaleo, P-A-R-A-K-A-L-E-O. And it literally means to call for, to exhort, or to encourage. So this particular word, everybody, is used almost 24 times in the New Testament, depending on your translation. But there's another word that is in the same family that we're going to spend the morning looking at. Philippians 2, if you turn your Bibles there to Philippians 2. And we're here just a couple weeks ago, but we're going to look at something again. Y'all there? Go eat popcorn. So find Galatians and go write a couple books. Does anybody else other than me use clever little things like that to know where the books in the Bible are? All those, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Let's get there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. You guys will recognize this because we were just here. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, or if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, right? A couple weeks ago was affection, right? Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Verse 3, everybody say this with me together. Ready? We're in trouble. Do nothing from selfishness. Now, let me pause here. The Greek word, I was looking at this again this morning early. The Greek word here is interesting because do nothing from selfishness. The Greek word actually means contention. Contention. All right, so contention is, it means strife, arguing. It actually talks about competition in a sense. Okay, to have contention with someone means I'm competing with them, right? So rivalry, that's another word, right? So he's saying do nothing from selfishness or what? Empty conceit. That Greek word, church, just again, I looked it up just so we understand what he's saying. It means literally means empty opinions. Okay, so conceit, that English word in the Greek, if it's all by itself, is actually my Bible software says that it's actually a positive word. All right, it literally says that word used for conceit, it means opinions. And it means that if it's all by itself, that Greek word, it's a positive. It says always positive. But when you put empty in front of it, it makes it a bad word. It makes it something where, similar that we talked to last Sunday about empathy, right? Empathy means I'm going to move away from my views and try to identify with how you see something, right? Not me in your shoes, because that means I'm still seeing how I see it. But I'm going to try to understand how are you seeing what you're seeing. I'm going to try to be you in your situation. That's empathy. Right, church? Sympathy means I feel bad for you, but that's fine. Okay, I'll pray for you. Good luck. Empathy means I'm going to climb into your situation and try to help you out in it. Right? So if we think about that, church, that's really to be that person, to be an encourager, to be empathetic means I've got to let go of my empty opinions about it. If I maintain what I think about your situation, I can't really help you. If I know what God thinks about it, now I can help. But that still means I got to get in your thing, and this is what God has said I'm going to get in and help you grind it out, right? He says, but in verse 3, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Sorry, one last little nugget here. Church, does Paul say here that I cannot look out for my own interests? No. For crying out loud, Paul does not say that I cannot do stuff that I enjoy doing. I cannot have me time. I can't enjoy my family. I can't go on vacation. I can't go whatever, jet skiing or fishing or whatever my thing is, right? But what Paul is saying, which we're going to look into a little bit more maybe if we get time, is he's saying that as Christians, as Spirit-filled believers, I have to effectively, in a sense, slot some time into my schedule specifically to help other people with their stuff. So, church, when I say in my heart, I'm too busy, I don't have time to help people out, I don't have time, we have lost something that is crucial to being a believer of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Church, it's the devil, man. You know what one guy says, acronym of BUSY, B-U-S-Y? You guys ever heard this? Busy, being under Satan's yoke. Now, that ain't in the Bible anywhere. I'm just saying. Can I get amen? How many, church, just raise your hand. How many people feel busy? Come on, man. It's like we turn around. You're like, where did the day go? Where did this week go? How on earth is it October, whatever the date is today? Right? Man, a month and a half into 2019. Where did 2018 go? Can I get amen? Right? Just seems like every day we wake up, things are going faster and we got less time to do more stuff. Right? But it's like God's saying, man, slow down, and you need to take some time to slot out specifically for other people. Amen. So Paul addresses church here in verse 1. We looked at affection a couple weeks ago, but he talks about encouragement here. If we remember the context of this, it's that God, if we back up into verse 1, it says that God has granted to us not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for him. That's the end of chapter 1, right? Paul says, you might even suffer the same ways that I have suffered. Sign me up, bro. Right? Man, we don't like that in America. We want everything to just go smooth. And man, I'm saying this pretty much every week now, but we're going to take it down because church, there are times when life is going to be hard. All right, we got to be real about that. Doesn't mean we got to get depressed about it and we need to, whatever. But that's the reality of our life, man, okay? These guys, these apostles, these guys in the Bible, when stuff got hard, they just got more, they just dove deeper into God. They didn't slow them down one bit. Man, when something gets hard for us, we're like, oh, you know, please. We just whine and cry about it. God's saying, come on. We need to get stronger. We, church, I said we. Amen. I'm not coming at you. Yeah? So Paul says, therefore, because we're called to not only this amazing promise of salvation and hope and healing and joy and peace and power, blessing, mercy, grace, and all this stuff that comes with being saved, right? We're also called to possibly suffer. So he says, because of that, is there any encouragement? The Greek word here is slightly different than the main word in the New Testament. And this word is paraklesis. Paraklesis. And it means this, a calling to one's aid. A calling to one's aid. It also is translated encouragement or comfort. So this is when Paul says, is there any encouragement? He's saying, is there any call in your heart to aid somebody else? Right? And church, remember a couple weeks back, Paul's not going, the question isn't, does this stuff exist? He's saying, have you allowed Christ, the Holy Spirit, to birth this in your heart? Have you allowed God enough reign in your heart to rearrange some things in your life? Have you allowed the Spirit of God and the Word of God to shift your priorities so that you will be available for somebody else? That's what encouragement, the word means here from Paul. You guys see it? I was watching this other thing that we probably will use when we launch our small groups, and it's actually, this guy wrote a book in 7 Keys to Successful Relationships, and one of his words is availability. He says availability. He says, you know what? In order to either build a successful relationship or to maintain one, we have to be available, right? Now, he says that can look like all kinds of different things, but the bottom line is, man, if for me to have a successful relationship with somebody else, I have to be available. And the point he uses in this, which is pretty, I thought it was pretty powerful, he says, there's this thing we use called foxhole friendships. You guys ever heard that term? I've never heard that. Foxhole friendships. And he says, what foxholes is a military term, and a foxhole is what when you're out in the battlefield, infantry, like World War II and all that stuff, a foxhole is what you jump in when bullets start flying. All right, it's literally like a hole in the ground, and everybody's walking, and boom, the bullets start flying, and everybody dives into the foxhole, right? So he's talking about a foxhole friendship is something that happens in a time of crisis. And whatever the crisis might be, church, Someone, when they reach out to you in time of crisis, when they're hurting, when there's something going wrong in their life, they reach out for you in time of crisis. This pastor says, you know what? You have an opportunity to go deep quick. Because when people are in crisis, they're more vulnerable. Right? They're going to probably share stuff with you that they wouldn't share if they were thinking a little bit more clearly. Is that right? So he says this, and he uses a very simple example. He says, so your 13-year-old son is going out for the soccer team, right? And he comes home. He says, son, how'd practice, how'd the tryouts go? And he says, oh, Dad, they went great. I think I'm going to make it. And then 2 days later, he comes home, and all of his friends made the soccer team, but he did not. Right? Now he says, you're a 45-year-old guy. You're like, bro, whatever, man. Come on. It's 7th grade soccer, man. You'll get over it. Good, right? Can I get any mentored? Right? How many parents do we look at our kids and we're like, really, you're crying about that right now? Come on. Sometimes they need that. But sometimes, you know what this guy says? He goes, you know what? If you don't realize that in your son's world at 13 years old, that's a pretty important thing that just happened. Right? I mean, this is all of his friends. All his world is like, hey, I'm going to play soccer with my friends. And then 13-year-old little boy, they're not little at that stage, but you know what I'm saying. 13-year-old boys, I remember being 18 still thinking I was going to play professional basketball. I was skinnier than I am now, okay? So don't look at me like that over from this corner. Listen, I could dunk a basketball, okay, on 10-foot hoop. On 10-foot hoop. I was athletic a long time ago and many pounds ago. Now my brain still thinks I'm athletic and I get hurt all the time. I think I pulled a muscle brushing my teeth the other day, man. It's crazy. I was like, ow, why does that hurt? But can I get a mentor? What this pastor says is, he says, you know what? What you missed right there is an ice cream opportunity with your son. You missed an opportunity to say, come on, buddy, let's go get an ice cream cone. And you go out with your son and you just listen to him and you listen to him tell about how devastated he is because he didn't make the soccer team. And what this guy's point is, it's such a powerful teaching. He says, you know what? If you have somebody's heart, you have that person. Because out of the issues of the heart flow out of the heart flow the issues of life, right? That's this guy's teaching. That's his core scripture. Out of the heart come the issues of life, right? So he says, if you get somebody's heart, that means that you are now involved in the issues of their life. Right? He says, if you got your wife's heart, you got your wife. If your wife has the husband's heart, you got your husband. If you've got your son's heart, you've got your son. But he says, guess what? If your son's friends get your son's heart, your son's friends have your son. Isn't that powerful, church? It's talking about availability. And you know what? Most of the times when folks need you, it's not going to be convenient. Can I get it? Come on, man. Crises don't happen right after your cup of your second cup of coffee in the morning. All right? Crises, is that the right way to say it? Crises don't occur. All right? Well, you know, when you're like, okay, perfect. I slotted out an hour to deal with somebody's crisis right now. It's in my schedule. Praise God. No, it hits you at the worst time, man. 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, just awful times, you know, but the issue, church, is we need to start getting this in our spirit, man. Can I get over myself long enough to help somebody else out? Yeah? What Paul is saying to the church here in Philippi is that if we are truly disciples of Jesus, if we're truly walking in step with the Holy Spirit, then our lives should be marked by certain things, all in that list, right? But encouragement is the first one. Isn't that interesting? I got one more section of scripture to look at here that's going to be awesome because it was awesome to me. So if you don't think it's awesome, I think it is because it is. Amen. So guys, encouragement, we need to make a distinction here. Encouragement is different than just saying nice things to somebody, right? Because we looked at the definition. What does encouragement do? If I encourage this young man, that means I'm going to do something, I'm going to say something, I'm going to get involved in his life that's going, when I'm done, when I leave, he feels bold. he feels strong. He feels, you know what? Okay, this circumstance didn't change at all, but you know what? My perspective did. Right? I can't just say, well, that's a nice shirt. He doesn't feel bold because of that. Right? He might say, thank you. You have a night. You cleaned up from the other day, bro. That's nice. It looks nice, okay? We had lunch the other day. He was a little lumberjackish looking because he was lumberjacking. So, right, can I get an amen, church? It's not just a compliment. Encouragement, what encouragement is it really takes some time. Amen, it takes some time to get to know somebody. It takes some time because, you know what, people may not share areas that they need encouragement until they trust you a little bit. Right? I'm a little different. I'll tell everybody anything. My wife's like, can you please just find one person that you don't tell everything to? You're on the wrong side of the room this morning. I don't know. Like, assigned seating is over here. Yeah, that's right. Last week, we had somebody say, you got to stop sitting in your assigned seats. We're in cruise control, man. Move around. So she's being obedient. Right? Holy Spirit's pleased with that. Get out of our seats, man. You really were messing me up all service. I'm like, why is she over there? I don't know, something wrong. I don't know. Church, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Encouragement, man, it's going to take time. Right? Maybe I can encourage somebody in 5 minutes and that's cool, but most times probably real encouragement is going to take some time, man. Right, I gotta plug in. I gotta stay with this person. I gotta check in on them. Hey, are you all right? How's it going? Right? And look, here's what's crazy, man. We've got so much technology today, so many ways to communicate, and our communication's worse than it's ever been. Unbelievable, man. It's, you know what, we like, let's face it, and I'm church convicted. Oh my gosh, I'm not coming at you. Please understand. But God's really saying to me, just in a general sense with encouragement, he's saying, you know, listen, every time you feel like you need to say something that's correcting somebody, you're going to point something out that's wrong. He says, have you spent at least that same amount of time considering ways to compliment them? Could you imagine, church? Look, there's times we need to correct people. If you've been around me long enough, you can say amen to that one, right? Come on. We need to correct things, man. We need to correct our kids. We need to correct one another. That's what's the Bible. It's in the Bible, man. We need to correct things that are wrong. Amen? But look, if we would take some time to say, you know what? Imagine if we just said, we just made a decision in our hearts, said, you know what? I'm going to try to encourage people at least twice as much as I correct them. If you're at work and the only time your boss ever calls you is because he's mad, how you like your job? I don't care if you make $50 million, right? After a while, the money ain't worth it. You're like, this is crazy, right? And you know, church, I don't know, for me, this is just me. I think sometimes if I was just to shoot somebody like a quick text and say, hey, I just want to encourage you today. To me, that just seems weird and cheesy. I don't know. But you know what? Who knows what that little text could do for somebody? You don't know. It seems cheesy to you. It seems like, oh, whatever. They're probably going to just think I'm weird. They're probably going to da-da-da, whatever. But you don't know, man. A 5-minute phone call, say, you know what, man, I was praying for you the other day. Just want to tell you God's with you, man. You know, and you never know. You never know what you're going to say. Man, this Tony Evans thing, we're going to watch next week. This one, this black lady, not, I don't know why I said she's black. She's black. Anyway, she's down in some city somewhere, and she just loves Jesus, man. She says, I just want to tell everybody that God loves him. That's all. I just love doing it. So she says, I'm driving down the road one day, and I drive by this guy, and this guy is humongous. He is like jacked, muscles on top of muscles, tattoos all over himself. You know, she's like, he just was a mean-looking guy. And I'm driving up, I'm looking at this guy, and the Holy Spirit says, go tell that guy that Jesus loves him. And she's like, no. Nope. And she says, man, God would not let me go. So she says, I pulled over, I rolled my window down, and I said, oh, young man, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. She says, this guy starts sobbing. Tears just, I mean, instantly, boom, he starts sobbing, tears streaming down his face. And he looks at this lady and he says, I was just standing on this corner asking God if he loved me right now. There's encouragement. Yeah. Isn't that so good, church? We think we got to say something clever or catchy, and it's like, you know, maybe just something simple. Right? So last point. Guys, you're going to like this. It's going to be so good. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. If you want to turn there, it's fine. I'm going to read there, and then I'm going to read something in John. So 1 John is towards the back. Amen. Chapter 2, it says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. John 14, 16 and 17 and 25 and 26, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Who's that, church? The Holy Spirit, right? That is, in verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I love that statement because Jesus is talking there. Jesus is saying, look, the Holy Spirit right now, the Spirit of truth is with you because he's in me. So you're hearing the Holy Spirit. Right? You're experiencing this is what the Holy Spirit in a human being looks like. So there's a time coming. I'm leaving, and then I'm going to send him to be in you. He's with you now, but not then he's going to be in you. Yeah, church, right? Verse 25 and 26 says, these things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the helper, everybody say the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Amen. So these two passages, church, do not have the English word encourage in them, but these two words, advocate and helper, are from the same Greek word. So the word we just looked at that means a call to aid is paraklesis, right? We looked at that. Paraklesis means a call to aid. Parakletos is the word used here both for advocate and helper in the Greek. Same root word, amen? And what this means to you, so paraklesis is a call to aid. Parakletos is called to aid. Amen. Now, some of you are nodding your heads, and that's good. Some of you are like, okay, what's the big deal? I don't get it. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit don't just have a call to help us. They've already responded to it. They've been called. Do you see a church? It's almost like paraklesis is the verb, or is the noun form of that Greek word, and parakletos is the verb. It's putting it into action. It's saying, you know what? God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are both this same word, parakletos. They are called to our aid. The word is encourage, right? They are called to encourage us. So if we think about this just for a moment, I'm almost done. I'm going to preach a little bit short this morning. Praise God. Yeah. Can drink some coffee after church. Oh, I'm just going to preach longer. My notes are almost gone, but that doesn't mean nothing. I have, and you have, a high priest in heaven who never sleeps nor slumbers. He's on mission to advocate for me. So there's an advocate, church, spelled the same, and then there's to advocate, spelled the same way. There's a noun and a verb. An advocate is someone who speaks well of another person in public. That's the definition from the dictionary. An advocate is one who speaks well of another person in public. So when an advocate advocates, that means to advocate means that I'm going to speak well of someone else in public. So when the Bible says here that if we sin, there's the context, church. Little children, let's read it one more time. You got to see this, man. This just rocked my world so hard in such a good way. Little children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. All right, so what's John telling us in this epistle? Stop sinning, right? You have the power to stop sinning. It's called the blood of Jesus and the Holy Ghost, man. You can stop sinning. I don't care what the problem is. You can stop doing it. You can overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone can overcome anything, no matter what. Can I get amen on that? What does he say, church, then? But if, not when, if you sin, you should feel terrible about it. You should not go to church for the whole month until you get it straightened out and climb out of that gutter that you fell into. You're such an idiot. Now it says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, one who speaks well of you before the Father. See, church, I've always thought of advocate as like an attorney, but that's not the word. An attorney, all the attorney's trying to do is get you off, right? He hasn't got to say nice things about you. He's just trying to disprove whatever they're saying. An advocate, church, is going to stand up for your on your behalf and speak well of you in the setting that he is in. So if Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us, and if I sin, that means that he's sitting there. He looks at me, and he looks at what I've just done wrong, and then he looks back to the Father in the courts of heaven, and he starts saying good things about me, even though I've done something wrong against him. What? Could you imagine that? I'm going to be straight with you, man. I still struggle sometimes with, like, when I do stuff that I shouldn't do, I still struggle with, like, God is disappointed with me. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Come on. When you know, I know that's wrong. Lord, forgive me for I'm about to sin. Right, church? You know it's wrong, and you do it anyway. Come on, you're like, what? There's Paul, right? What is wrong with me? The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. A wicked man am I. Who will save me? Thanks be to God that we have this advocate, this one who speaks well on our behalf in the courts of heaven. The same Greek word, church, is used to describe this attribute of the Holy Spirit. The attribute in particular is helper. Isn't that awesome, right? He says, look it, I'm talking to you now. Jesus says, I'm saying stuff to you now that you cannot get. You can't get it because it's only received by the Holy Spirit. Is that right, church? The things, spiritual things are determined and perceived by the Holy Spirit, right? Flesh cannot understand the Holy Spirit. This is why, you know, Jesus is talking to them and going, listen, I'm saying stuff to you right now, guys, and you're going, what is he talking about, man? This is crazy. He's lost his mind. But he says, look, there's a time coming that you're going to get it. It's going to click, and you're going to go, oh, that's what he's talking about. And the time that comes when they do understand it is when he, the helper, comes, the Spirit of truth, and he will remind you of what I have said. You're going to say, oh, remember when he said that? Now I get it. Why? Because there is a paracletos. There is a helper. There is someone inside of me encouraging me, saying, remember when you heard that and it went over your head? You thought it didn't click. You thought it didn't grab into your heart, but look, it's still in there. It's a seed, and I'm going to pour some water on it now. I'm going to give you some insight to that thing, and it's going to click now, and you go, man, I heard that 20 years ago, and all of a sudden, click. Oh, I get it. Paracletos. I have an encourager inside me. Isn't that good, church? The Holy Spirit is here. Think about this. The Holy Spirit's here for many reasons, but one of the reasons is to help us make the right choice, right? The helper. But church, he's not only here to help us make the right choice, which is how we're supposed to do it, he's also here to help us clean up the mess when we don't. Right? The Holy Spirit is the one when you do something wrong, he is going to speak to your heart and say, go to that brother and ask him to forgive you. Go to that sister and tell her you're wrong and you're sorry. Right? There's the Holy Spirit. Right? We love the goose pimples and all that stuff. But you know what? There's nothing in my Bible that says the Holy Spirit's going to give you goosebumps during worship. Unless I'm missing a verse. I don't know. Y'all got that in your Bible? I don't know. My Bible says he's going to guide me into all truth. My Bible says he's going to pull me away from deception. You know, I was reading something the other day. This is completely off topic, but I think it ties in pretty good. You guys know that scripture that says that the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night? How many people have ever read that and it did not make you feel very good? Like, what if I miss it? Can I get church? I'm not the only one. There's no way I'm the only one that's ever thought that. All right? Some of you, you're so scared. Now you're like, where's he going with this one? But you know, it's in like Thessalonians or something where it says that. But you know that if you read down just a couple more verses, you know what he says? He says, but children, you are not of the night. You're of the day. And a thief can't get you. I mean, I'm really paraphrasing it very poorly. But you see what I'm saying? We quote them, well, Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. And you're like, oh, man, that doesn't make you feel very nice. I don't know about you, but if I hear, like, you ever hear, like, a branch ticking on the wind, and you're like, oh, what's that? You know, right? That's not like, wow, that filled me with faith right there. I hear that weird sound in my house, and I'm home alone. I am confident right now. Praise God. Right? You're like, oh, what's that? Can I get an amen, church, right? But look at, man, we quote that scripture like it's doctrine, but keep reading, because Paul, I think it's Paul, he goes right on and says, look, but you're not. He's talking about people that don't know Jesus. He says they're walking in darkness. And you know what? It's going to come boom because they're in the night, church. Spiritually, they're walking in night. Do you see it? It's like they're slumbering. They're sleeping. They're walking. You know what I'm saying? But he says, look, if you're saved, if you know Jesus, it's not going to happen like that. You're going to know it's coming. Amen. Can I get right? He's like, boy, I hope we do everything just right so I don't miss Jesus coming. Oh my gosh, come on, man. Look, we need to do the right things, but God is not like, he's not that fickle. Can I get amen? That was all bonus. Church, this is the concept of encouragement that Paul is talking about in Philippians 2. So again, that Greek word paraklesis is a call to one's aid. Then we see advocate and helper, parakletos, is called to one's aid. So here's, we see Jesus and the Holy Spirit, like ascended Jesus, exalted Jesus, seated at the right hand of God, is doing what Paul is asking the church, can you do it? Right? Do you see it? He says, the Holy Spirit's in you to do what I'm commissioning the church to do. So think about this. I said this a couple weeks ago, but we're talking about a little bit different topic. If Jesus is existing right now at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession, he's my advocate with the Father. And according to Romans 8, we are all being conformed to the image of his dear son, and his dear son is currently an advocate with the Father, then should not we also be other people's advocate with the Father? You know, this week as I was studying this church, man, it really has stirred my prayer life in a totally different way than I've ever thought before. Because if I pray for this man, or when I pray for this man, or pray for this young lady, or whatever it is, you know what I'm doing? I'm advocating with the Father on his behalf. I am quite literally stepping into being like Jesus. Right? If we're supposed to be like Jesus, shouldn't we act like Jesus acts? Amen. Why? If that's what Jesus does, right? If I sin according to that scripture, I have an advocate with the Father, right? So if that's what Jesus is doing, why do I feel the right when I find out somebody else's sin to go public with it? Yeah, I was even thinking about this morning. You guys ever see those things on Facebook, the videos called Fail Army? You guys ever see those? They're funny, okay? They're hard to watch because all it is people doing stupid things. And when I say stupid things, I mean like stuff you'd be like, oh gosh, don't do that, man. You're going to get hurt. Right? That kind of stupid stuff. Like if I was to stand up on one of these chairs and then like, you know, balance it when I'm standing on it and try to do like a backflip off it or something in your video with your phone. Obviously, I'm going to land on my head on the cement or something, right? That's not going to go well. So the Fail Army is these guys, it's this video compilation of people doing things that they should not do because you're like, bro, you're going to get hurt. And so, but it's always like funny music along with it, right? And it's kind of funny. But you know what's weird about it? There's some things that people do are funny, right? Nobody gets hurt. It's just funny. You know, you're like, okay, that was dumb. And they laugh and everybody laughs. Okay, funny. But the Lord's really been on me. He says, you know, if somebody does something and they really get hurt, why is that funny? It's not funny. Right? I mean, if I personally knew that person, would I laugh at their pain? No, I probably would say, please don't do that again. Promise. Pinky swear. Right, church? Do you understand? But I'm saying you to encourage somebody, man, we've got to watch what we're laughing at, what we think is funny, what we think is, what the world is doing out there. Can I get an amen? The world is not promoting relationship, man. The world is promoting individualism. The world is promoting, you know what, I'm gonna do me. I just saw something recently. Just do me. There's churches that are preaching that. Just do you, bro. There's churches preaching that stuff. Oh my gosh, don't do you. That's what gets us in trouble. Me being me, I love Pastor Jim Kakuza. What's he say? He says, I don't need the devil to get to hell. I get there all by myself. Right? Church, I'm telling you, as we move forward right here in our church with these small groups launch and building relationships, man, it's not just about the ministry in our church, right? If the small group ministry does not promote relationships, it's a failure. Amen. Man, you guys are so quiet this morning. Can I get, right, church? I don't need another ministry in our church, for crying out loud. That's not what we need. Ministries are fine. Please hear what I'm saying. But just another ministry that we go to and we leave and nothing changes, we don't need that stuff. The world don't need that stuff. What the world needs is something real. They come into, when we invite someone to a small group meeting, they should go in there and say, man, I have never been in a place like this. I have never met people like this. I have never felt so loved. I have never felt so just like, wow. I don't even know how to describe what I feel. It's amazing. Right? If that's what's occurring in the ministry, then praise God for the ministry. Amen. So look at this, church. As we launch these small groups, as we start meeting together in small settings, because you know what will happen is dirt will come out. Somebody's closet is going to get emptied out, man. There's going to be some skeletons in the room. There's going to be somebody's going to say something and you go, oh man, I can't believe they just said that. Whoa. Right? But you know, when I took this church over, the first thing God told me is he said, son, you need to prepare your heart for people to tell you anything. I was like, what do you mean anything? Right? Because you know what we need to do as Christians, church, as spirit-filled believers of Jesus Christ, when someone's closet gets emptied out, you know what they need? Encouragement. They don't need correction right there. They don't need chastisement. Amen? I remember the first time I did that, church, was a long, long time ago. I sat at a at a family function with my father-in-law and another brother that has moved south from our church, good friend. And I remember this issue, this sin in my life that was just, I could not get over it. And I sat there and I don't remember what we were talking about, man. You remember that day? Yeah. I have no idea what we were talking about. But I just was like, I just interrupted the conversation and says, you know what? I got something in my life and I'm just going to tell you what it is. And I was thinking, man, it's all over. I'm going to lose everything. This is it. You know? And you know what? My father-in-law, of all the people, he looked at me and he says, you know what, man? Everybody goes for that stuff. And it was like, what, really? Like, I was so deceived by the devil. I was so trapped in my perception of what was going on in my life, church. And you know, we're all there, man. We build these little safe rooms. You know, we're like, okay, don't let that one out. Because we're scared. Man, what if somebody finds out about that? My marriage is gonna be over. They're gonna take my kids away. I'm gonna lose my job. The church will disown me. I'll lose my ministry position. I'm gonna lie, 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 lie. It's lies. If a church is really in the Holy Ghost, all those five things are lies. Brethren, you who are spiritual, restore one who has fallen with a spirit of gentleness. Yeah? Hebrews, just going to read this and pray. And we're 10 minutes early, praise God. Hebrews chapter 3, look at this, so awesome. Take care, brethren, verse 12, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But rebuke them. You better believe, brother. You better get your heart right with Jesus. What does he say? Encourage one another. If you see somebody, church, being hardened by sin, maybe they need to be encouraged. There's the main Greek word of the New Testament for encourage. It means to care for. Can I get amen? I'm going to identify with you, man. I'm going to get down in there. It's not excuses for do whatever you're doing. I'm not going to come down on you, right? Correction is necessary, church, but I think we've put correction a lot sooner than it needs to be. Yeah? I think correction needs to be, we need to push correction to the back of the line somewhere and say, you know what, let me partner with this brother, let me partner with this sister and see if we can help you get over this thing. All right, maybe there's some correction needed coming, but man, I'd rather try to get my hands dirty and help them out first. Yeah? Is that good? Let's stand up and we'll pray. I actually have my prayer written out in my notes this morning, so I say it perfect. Amen. Father, help us to see this. Help us, O God, to be more and more like you. Lord Jesus, we are predestined to be conformed into your image, and we can clearly see here a powerful attribute of yours, called to our aid. If we're supposed to be like you and you're called to our aid, shouldn't we also be called to the aid of our brothers and sisters around us? We need to help the world, but the scriptures tell us to give even more effort to those in the church. Amen, church. This isn't my written down prayer. I messed it up. But there's a scripture where Paul says to do good to all people, but especially to those of the household of faith. That's the scriptures, everybody. We should be focused more on our brothers and sisters. We need to be nice to folks out there. But the Bible says we should be of more effort to those in the household of faith. Amen. So, God, we just finish up this service this morning by helping us to be true encouragers in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Our community group leaders, if you're in here, I know there's a couple of you in here, we are going to meet after service here. We have some lunch coming, so don't go anywhere. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have an awesome week.